Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David For on Monday, the 11th of January, recording at 9:28 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In Asia, stock markets were mostly steadier, although China, which was up on the day, gave up most of what had been large gains on the opening. I think it's supply problems, and once again, and fear of higher rates. The European stock markets were quite firm on the opening, but pretty well gave up the gains, closed mix on the day. Wall Street showed modest gains, closed around the high of the day, although the NASDAQ was down a little bit, I note. And Brazil and Mexico moved higher here today. Long-dated government bonds, a little bit of selling pressure in the U.S. contracts, but the gilts and the bunds were firmer here overall. The U.S. dollar was weak, with the dollar index currently at 77. But the dollar's off its lows, and precious metals, they had been quite strong at one stage, but gave up quite a bit of the gains. The exceptions were platinum and palladium, which retained most of their gains. But silver's up 12 to 18.59, and gold bullion's up 13.25 at 11.51.52. So this is still a solid performance, although it had been $10 higher. Bullion, that is. And let's see, crude oil, which has been up almost every day on the big winter freeze, actually eased a little bit on some forecasts of warmer weather to come, currently trading at 82.23, but it had been as high as 83.95. Industrial metals, mostly firmer, except for nickel, which gave up its gains, closed down $10. And agricultural commodities, mostly a little bit easier. I see soybeans down 11.25. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, it was a good late December, and it has been a good beginning to the year. Last week was quite strong, really, and they opened with further gains today. We saw a number of new highs in here today before running into a little bit of selling pressure. On a short-term basis, strictly short-term basis, we can say that a number of these stock markets that have been performing quite well are a little bit overbought. You can see that if you look at the short-term stochastics, which are in the library. Now, or you can look up any chart and then go into the charting section to produce those stochastics. So we may see a little consolidation here. I don't think we'll see any kind of big pullback or lengthy consolidation at this stage, because stock markets have only recently broken up out of those trading ranges, which are quite bullish, because they're now viewed as what we had suspected they were all along, which is bullish consolidation phases. You can never be certain when you get big patterns, as I'd mentioned before, because when you get big patterns, you've got supply and demand in balance. And if something takes place that spooks investors and you start to break down out of those patterns, you do trap a lot of people at the higher levels. But that didn't happen. So that corrective phase, which lasted the better part of 3 or 4 months, really was mostly horizontal, representing a partial mean reversion towards the rising 200-day moving averages. And then the upward breakouts from those patterns reaffirmed the overall upward trends. Now, why shouldn't stock markets go higher following a small consolidation, temporary pause? And I think they will go higher because monetary policy still remains accommodative. We get articles galore and reports galore on a daily basis, talking about eventual endings and how you can't go on with quantitative easing forever. Well, we all know that, don't we? But what counts for us basically is what the monetary can right now is that what are the monetary conditions? Are they favorable? The answer is a big yes. When will they turn unfavorable? The answer is nobody knows, not even the central bankers. But a safe bet is not immediately. So I maintain that we're still in a sweet spot here and wish to play it accordingly with a long portfolio in fuller money themes, which is what I maintain. And if anybody missed my Friday update, by the way, I did review that portfolio in terms of the top 10 weighting positions. Okay, what else to mention here? I think currencies. I hadn't mentioned currencies in my introduction except to say that the dollar was weaker and then gave up some of its gains. Well, that pretty much says it, doesn't it? Or gave up, recouped some of its losses. But the sentiment for the dollar around year-end, as you probably recall, was really quite bullish. And a lot of advisors wrote reports talking about 2010 being a very bullish year for the dollar. Well, that and the extrapolations beyond a short-term technical rally, which we saw last month, raised some eyebrows over here at Fuller Money, as you will recall, perhaps. And that's because the only reason that I've been able to cite as to why the dollar should get a really big rally anytime soon, the only way I could see that would be if stock markets went into a tailspin and one had the flight to so-called, and I put this in inverted commas, quality. In other words, Americans brought a lot of their capital home and other investors pushed into pushed more assets into the U.S. dollar, which because it's highly liquid and because that's what's happened during other panics, sort of a knee-jerk type of response. But a big sharp sell-off in stock markets is certainly not indicated here right now. So the other point that people are mentioning is they said, well, European problems are greater than the U.S. problems. Well, they both got problems, haven't they? But there was a lot of focus on the Greek situation and talk about Spain and Ireland and what about some of the weaker Eastern European countries, and also comments that there was too much regulation in Europe. Well, that's an old one. We've heard that for the last 30 years or more, haven't we? It doesn't mean it isn't a factor, but it's kind of this. What I'm saying is that we're really talking about the swings and roundabouts of sentiment here. Now, if you go through the charts, and perhaps I should review some of these charts tomorrow or later in the week, but the Asian dollar index, for instance, hit a new high today, and the new recovery high, I should say, and the or new trend high from those lows that we'd seen late last year. The Latin American dollar index is really quite strong. So just saying, what my point is that the Asian currencies are stronger than the greenback. The U.S. dollar is actually broken down to below its year-end lows against a number of the Asian currencies against which it's freely traded. I think some of those can include the Indian rupee, the rupiah, Indonesia, the Thai baht, the Singapore dollar, not quite, but certainly the greenback's weak against the Singapore dollar. So if you look around, What did the dollar do really well against? Well, it had a good rally against the euro, which I've just discussed, and had a good rally against sterling, although it's still range bound. And it had a good rally against the yen because the Japanese have been talking on almost a daily basis about weakening the yen. But you look at it against the resources currencies, and we saw a modest rally, and a lot of that's been retraced. Really, what it looks like to me is that the dollar is not going to go up very much more now, and that it's actually eroded gains, I think, against the weaker currencies. And I'd say those would include sterling, they would include some of the smaller European currencies, although not necessarily the Norwegian crown, which has benefited from the oil price. Would include though the Swiss franc, would include the yen. Then maybe the dollar just is range bound for a while, although I can make a decent case for Japan undermining the yen, printing more of the yen to weaken that. And I think they need to do that in terms of their export competitiveness. But the strong dollar, the strong currencies rather, strong currencies are the ones that we've liked really for, or ever since stock markets began to show signs of bottoming out back in October of 2008. And those are led by the Asian developing, progressing markets. Among that list that I mentioned where the dollar had weakened, extending its downtrend, as Asian currencies, we can include the Indian rupee there as well. So, again, I don't see this strong dollar, and that's one of the reasons why gold has had a good rebound, having had that decline of that correction of about 12.3%. And therefore, if we get a ranging to softish dollar, depending on which currency or currency group we're comparing it with, that's a neutral to positive tailwind for the precious metal markets. And I think that's being reflected in prices here right now. And it won't do other commodities any harm as well, although currency is just one factor, and the supply and demand balance or expectations is of course the big one. So here we are. We're in the second week of January. Fuller Money themes still look good. Our basic scripts still look good. There's a lot of there are a lot of clouds on the horizon regarding what actually happens later in the year, commencing really in the second quarter. And I've got more questions than answers, and make no apology for that. And I would say that people who think they know exactly what's going to be happening during the remainder of 2010 are deluding themselves here. Let's deal with those uncertainties as they appear. But right now, the bottom line is that we're still in this sweet spot. So I was talking about precious metals, and I would expect gold and silver to follow platinum and palladium and hit new highs this quarter. Now, if I'm wrong on that, watch palladium, because palladium has been the sector leader this time. Now, this has been a rotating feast over the last few years, but on every one of those big upward moves, and I'm talking about the one that began in 2005, from September 2005, September 2007, the one starting in September 2009, we've had different leaders. But if you identify the leader, which you can halfway through or halfway or more through the overall move, and then monitor that, and some would argue that gold has been the leader, but certainly in the last few weeks, last 4 or 5 weeks, platinum has unquestionably been the leader. And the leaders usually lead in both directions. That's a major premise from the chart seminar, as you're probably aware. And so if you keep an eye on platinum, as long as platinum is performing, I think that's a good indication that the other precious metals have not finished finished their run. And copper, more often than not the lead industrial metal, and still in very good form. Crude oil, well, it's overbought on a short-term basis following that big move on the upside. I think cold weather has had a great deal to do with it, obviously. And that's true of the other petroleum contracts. What will be very interesting and very important to see is how much crude pulls back, if it does pull back, as we approach spring. So we'll know in the next 2 to 3 months. But on a short-term basis right now, I think crude's overcooked a bit and is likely to retrace some of these gains before long. There's a bit of wishful thinking in that, because I'm tired of feeling cold in London, and winters are tedious. So bring on the warm weather and lower crude prices in the process. Meanwhile, for the first day in a long time, I've pretty well gotten through this audio without too much croaking of the voice, so that's an improvement, and long may it last. And meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.